Hey everyone, thanks for sending in all this stuff on the Maldives. You've clearly got your eyes on more than just those perfect beaches.
Yeah, some fascinating stuff in
We're
here.
talking news articles, financial reports, even some global perspectives.
And all pointing to a pretty intense picture of this debt situation they've got going on.
Exactly. And you know what strikes me is we're not just looking at like numbers on a spreadsheet here.
Right.
This is about a nation's future. The people you know, that balance between paradise and economic stability.
Absolutely. And we're definitely going to get into the nitty-gritty of those reports you sent. But first, let's set the scene a little bit. Those stunning islands over water bungalows, that crystal clear water.
Right, but beneath all that picture-perfect surface, there's a serious debt crisis brewing.
Yeah, and like you said, it's not just numbers on a spreadsheet. We're talking about people's lives here.
Exactly. And, you know, tourism, as we know, is the lifeblood of the Maldivian economy. But the pandemic, man, it really hit them hard.
It did, and they're still feeling it today. The Maldives Bureau of Statistics has already reported a slowdown in real GDP growth for 2024.
Not good.
Not a good sign.
And then there's the elephant in the room, Sri Lanka,
Right.
a nearby island nation, also heavily reliant on tourism. That went through a complete economic collapse just recently,
Yeah.
and it's a stark reminder of what can happen when debt spirals out of control. A cautionary tale.
A wake-up call, really. Small island nations like the Maldives are incredibly vulnerable to shocks like
No.
the, pandemics, natural disasters, global economic downturn. Resources are limited, and their dependence on very specific industries makes them especially susceptible to these crises.
Okay, so let's dive into the heart of it all.
Let's do it.
The debt. And we're not talking pocket change here. The numbers are pretty eye-popping.
Yeah, to put it bluntly, the situation is dire. In 2022, their total debt was over $1 billion. By early 2024, that number had skyrocketed to $8.2 billion, with a debt-to-GDP ratio of 110%.
Whoa, okay, so what does that mean? Put that in perspective for us.
So that means imagine every single citizen in the Maldives suddenly owing over $20,000. It's a staggering burden for a nation so dependent on tourism.
Yeah, and if those figures weren't alarming enough, their usable foreign reserves have dwindled to a mere 73 million.
Yikes.
That's barely enough to cover a week's worth of imports, let alone provide any kind of economic buffer.
It's like navigating a hurricane in a leaky lifeboat.
A high debt-to-GDP ratio. What does that actually mean? Why are these dwindling foreign reserves so alarming?
So, high debt-to-GDP ratio basically means that the country is using a huge chunk of its income just to service its debt, just paying interest, keeping up with repayments, and that leaves very little room for crucial things. Healthcare, education, infrastructure, responding to emergencies.
It's like trying to run a household where most of your paycheck is going to paying off credit cards.
Yeah.
There's barely anything left over for groceries, bills, or like enjoying life.
Right.
And speaking of enjoying life, let's talk about where all this money went, because honestly, paradise doesn't come cheap.
Well, one of the biggest culprits is unsustainable spending, particularly on these massive infrastructure projects.
Okay.
A prime example is the Valana International Airport expansion.
Right.
It was supposed to be this grand gateway to attract even more tourists, but instead, it's become a bit of a money pit.
It's like that home renovation project that just keeps getting more and more expensive and never seems to end.
Exactly. The project was initially signed back in 2016, price tag of $800 million. But guess what? It's 2024, it's still not finished. And they've already had to take out an additional $200 million loan just to keep it afloat. And the irony is, this project meant to boost tourism is actually contributing to the debt crisis.
Yeah, talk about unintended consequences. But it's not just the airport.
Yeah.
You've also got the social welfare system, especially the pension program, which is becoming increasingly expensive.
Right. The pension program is facing a double whammy.
Yeah.
On the one hand, you have these generous monthly payouts. On the other, the working age population is shrinking, declining birth rates. So fewer people are contributing to the system while more are drawing from it.
It's like trying to fill a swimming pool with a leaky hose while everyone's splashing the water out at the same time. Just not sustainable.
And the World Bank has been waving red flags about this for a while now. They're saying, hey, this isn't going to work in the long run. You need to reform the system.
Yeah.
But there's another layer of spending that's adding to this problem, the government itself.
Oh, yeah, the government payroll. It's
Yeah.
ballooned under the current administration with all these new political appointments.
Yeah. And guess what? It's costing taxpayers over $65 million every single month.
Wow.
Now, it's important to understand that government spending isn't inherently bad.
Right.
It's crucial for providing public services, stimulating the economy, taking care of its citizens. But when spending outpaces revenue and isn't managed efficiently, it can quickly lead to a debt crisis.
Like going on a shopping spree without checking your bank balance. Fun at first, but the consequences can be brutal.
Exactly.
And then you've got the infamous state-owned enterprises, those SOEs.
Ah, yes.
Which in theory could be a real asset to the economy, but...
But in practice, as we often see, they can become breeding grounds for inefficiency and losses, especially when there's a lack of transparency and accountability. In the Maldives, many of these SOEs reported significant losses in 2023, despite generating substantial revenue.
Yeah, like the Housing Development Corporation, the HDC.
Right.
Reported a loss of 3.2 billion Maldivian rufiah last year. That's a lot of money to just disappear.
It is, and it points to a systemic issue with SOEs in many countries. They often lack the same level of market pressure and competition that private businesses face, which can lead to complacency, mismanagement, and ultimately financial losses that the government and, by extension, taxpayers end up having to cover.
So we got extravagant airport expansions, a pension system stretched to its limits, a bloated government payroll, and inefficient SOEs.
Mm.
It's like a recipe for a financial meltdown, wouldn't you say? But wait, there's more.
Oh, yes. There's another ingredient in this economic stew that often gets overlooked: unpaid dues. We're talking about a staggering $513 million U.S. dollars owed to the Maldivian government in unpaid corporate debts.
Unpaid taxes, rents, fees, you name it. It seems these companies are getting away without paying it.
It seems that way.
So it's not just about the government spending too much. It's also about them not collecting what they're owed.
Right.
And what's even more frustrating is that it's often the big players, you know, the large businesses and resorts raking in profits who are failing to pay their fair share.
Right. And this raises a crucial question about fairness. Why are ordinary citizens held accountable for minor fines while powerful corporations can seemingly get away with owing millions? This lack of enforcement not only exacerbates the debt crisis, but also erodes public trust in the system.
It's like being stuck in traffic while a luxury yacht just sails right by, you know, completely ignoring the rules.
Yeah.
Okay, but let's shift gears a bit. We've established that the Maldives is in a deep, deep financial hole. But is there any way out? Are there any lifelines they can grab onto?
Well, the situation is definitely precarious, but it's not hopeless. There are some strategies for survival being explored. For example, debt deferrals from India and China have offered some temporary relief. It's like getting an extension on a bill payment. You buy yourself time, but you still have to figure out how to pay eventually. India's State Bank recently extended its subscription to a $50 million T-bill, giving the Maldives a bit of breathing room.
That's good news, but it's not a long-term solution, right? They can't just keep kicking the can down the road forever.
Exactly. That's why the Maldivian government is also working on various fiscal consolidation measures, essentially ways to increase revenue and control spending. They're trying to tighten their belts while figuring out how to bring in more cash.
So what are some of these measures? Are we talking about drastic austerity?
It's a mix of both. On the revenue side, they're looking at revising airport taxes and fees, adjusting the green tax on tourists, tweaking import duties, and reforming the Goods and Services Tax Act. Essentially, they're trying to squeeze a bit more out of the tourism industry and imports.
Okay, that makes sense. But what about cutting spending? Where's the fat that they can trim?
They're targeting several areas. First, they're trying to improve the efficiency of those troublesome SOEs. Second, they're shifting from indirect to more targeted direct subsidies, which should save some money. Then there's reforming the social health coverage system, implementing an oil price hedging strategy to protect against volatile prices, and strictly controlling discretionary spending. That means things like those political appointments we talked about earlier might be on the chopping block.
So they're pulling out all the stops.
They have to. The big question, though, is whether these measures will be enough and if they can implement them effectively.
That is the million-dollar question, literally. But just when you thought things couldn't get any more complicated, we've got another layer to add to this economic parfait.
Oh, boy.
The U.S. dollar crisis in the Maldives.
Ah, yes, this adds a whole new dimension of complexity to the situation.
Okay, help me understand this. How does a country just run out of U.S. dollars?
It's not so much about physically running out of U.S. dollar bills, but rather a shortage of U.S. dollar reserves within the Maldivian banking system. It's like when you overspend and your bank account starts looking a bit anemic. Several factors contribute to this shortage, including global currency fluctuations, the decline in tourism revenue, and difficulties in accessing foreign loans denominated in U.S. dollars.
So if a business in the Maldives needs to import goods from abroad and they can't get enough U.S. dollars,
they're in trouble.
They're stuck.
They might have to pay more for those imports, which can lead to higher prices for consumers, further fueling inflation.
A vicious cycle.
It is. And just like an individual with limited funds, a country facing a U.S. dollar shortage has less flexibility to pay for imports, service its debt, and maintain the stability of its own currency.
So this U.S. dollar crisis is like adding fuel to the fire of their economic woes.
Precisely. It exacerbates existing challenges and makes it even harder for the Maldives to regain its financial footing.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground here, laid out the harsh realities of the Maldives' debt crisis. But the big question looming over all of this is, what's next? Can this paradise be saved? Or are we looking at a slow-motion economic train wreck?
Well, like any complex situation, there are multiple potential scenarios. On the optimistic side, if the government can successfully implement those fiscal reforms, restructure their debt, and see a strong rebound in tourism, they could be on a path to gradual recovery.
Okay, so there's hope, but it's going to take some serious effort and maybe a bit of luck.
Absolutely, but we can't ignore the pessimistic view. If spending continues to be unsustainable, if they fail to address those structural issues, and if the global economy throws them another curveball, well, the crisis could very well worsen.
The next 2 years are going to be critical, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. Without a doubt, it's like the Maldives is at a crossroads, and the decisions made now will have a profound impact on their future. But we'll delve deeper into those potential scenarios and what they mean for the everyday lives of Maldivians, and even for you, in just a moment. It's a crucial point you bring up. Those decisions made the next 2 years will have a ripple effect throughout the entire Maldivian economy. But before we get into those potential scenarios, let's zoom in on the people behind those statistics.
Right, because this isn't just an abstract economic problem, it's affecting real lives.
Exactly. Think about the average Maldivian family right now. The rising cost of living is putting a strain on their budgets. Basic necessities like food and fuel are getting more expensive, while job security is becoming a real concern.
Yeah, it's a pressure cooker situation, isn't it?
It is, especially for those who aren't in the tourism sector. We know tourism is the big kahuna in the Maldives, but what about everyone else? How are local businesses outside of that industry holding up?
That's a great question. We talked about the U.S. dollar shortage earlier, and I'm guessing that's hitting them pretty hard.
It is. Imagine you're a small business owner in the Maldives trying to import essential goods. Could be anything from construction materials to medical supplies. Suddenly, those imports become significantly more expensive because of the dollar shortage. You either have to absorb those costs, which eats into your profits, or you have to raise prices, which could drive customers away.
It's a lose-lose situation for many of these businesses. And the worst part is this dollar crisis comes on top of all the other economic challenges we've discussed. It's like trying to run a marathon with a sprained ankle.
A very apt analogy. Now let's shift gears and talk about those potential scenarios for the next 2 years. We touched on this briefly before, the optimistic view versus the pessimistic one, but I think it's worth digging deeper into what might tip the scales one way or the other.
Right, because it feels like the Maldives is on a knife's edge. What are those key factors that could make or break their economic recovery?
Well, on the one hand, they have some undeniable advantages. The natural beauty of the Maldives is still a huge draw for tourists worldwide. Their reputation as a top-tier destination hasn't diminished. So if global travel continues its rebound, that could be a massive boost to their economy.
So fingers crossed people keep booking those overwater bungalows. Every little bit helps, right?
Exactly. And if the government demonstrates a real commitment to fiscal responsibility, I'm talking walking the walk, not just talking the talk. And if they can implement those reforms effectively, that could go a long way toward restoring investor confidence and attracting much needed foreign capital.
So they need to prove to the world that they're serious about getting their financial house in order, not just putting a Band-Aid on the problem.
Precisely. Transparency, accountability, and the willingness to make tough decisions are crucial. But let's not sugarcoat it. There are significant risks lurking on the horizon as well.
Like what? What are the potential stumbling blocks that could derail their recovery?
For one thing, the global economic outlook is a bit shaky right now. You've got rising inflation in many parts of the world, geopolitical tensions that could disrupt trade and travel, and the possibility of a recession in major economies. Any of these could have a domino effect on the Maldives.
So even if they do everything right internally, external factors could still throw a wrench in the works.
Unfortunately, yes. Small island nations are particularly vulnerable to those global economic currents. They don't have the same kind of diversification or economic buffers as larger countries. And then there's the issue of political stability. The Maldives has experienced some periods of turmoil in recent years, and that kind of uncertainty can be a major deterrent to investors and a big obstacle to long-term economic planning.
Yeah, it's hard to focus on fixing the roof when there's a political storm raging inside the house.
Exactly. Political infighting, gridlock, sudden policy shifts. These can all make it very difficult to implement those crucial reforms we talked about earlier.
So it sounds like the Maldives is in a precarious balancing act. They've got these internal challenges they need to address the debt, the spending, the inefficient SOEs. But then they've also got these external forces buffeting them about like a ship in a storm.
That's a great way to put it. And what's important for our listeners to understand is that these economic challenges aren't just abstract concepts. They have very real, very human consequences.
Right, because behind those economic figures are real people, families, businesses, trying to make ends meet.
Exactly. Imagine a young Maldivian who just graduated and is trying to enter the workforce, or a family struggling to afford basic necessities as prices keep rising. These are the human faces of this economic crisis.
Okay, so we've painted a pretty sobering picture of the challenges facing the Maldives.
Yeah.
But I have a feeling our listeners might be wondering, what does this all mean for me, even if I'm not planning a trip to the Maldives anytime soon? Why should I care about what's happening on these faraway islands?
That's a great question, and it gets to the heart of why we do this deep dive in the first place. On a humanitarian level, we should care because the well-being of people anywhere in the world is important. But beyond that, the Maldives experience offers some valuable lessons for all of us, no matter where we live.
Okay, I'm all ears. What are those broader lessons we can learn from the Maldives situation?
First and foremost, it highlights the importance of sustainable economic practices, both at the national and individual level. The Maldives story is a cautionary tale of what can happen when a country lives beyond its means, accumulates unsustainable debt, and fails to address underlying structural problems.
That's like a personal finance lesson writ large, isn't it?
It is. And it's a reminder that we can't just keep kicking the can down the road when it comes to financial responsibility. We need to think about the long-term consequences of our choices, both as individuals and as a society.
So don't be like the Maldives and rack up a mountain of debt on that dream vacation, right?
Exactly. But the lessons go beyond just personal finances. The Maldives situation also underscores the interconnectedness of the global economy. What happens in one part of the world, even a seemingly remote island nation, can have ripple effects on others.
Right. We saw how global currency fluctuations, the pandemic's impact on tourism, and economic downturns in other countries all contributed to the Maldives' woes.
Exactly. It's a reminder that we're all in this together and we need to work collectively to build a more stable and equitable global economic system, one that's more resilient to these kinds of shocks and one that doesn't leave vulnerable nations like the Maldives adrift.
That's a powerful message. But I think our listeners are eager to hear what the experts predict for the Maldives' economic future. What's the prognosis? Are we talking doom and gloom or a glimmer of hope?
Well, predicting the future is a tricky business, especially in the realm of economics. But let's look at what some of the leading voices are saying about the Maldivian economy.
Give me with some insights.
The World Bank, for example, has issued a stark warning that the Maldives' debt levels are unsustainable. They've stressed the need for immediate action, calling for fiscal consolidation, improved governance, and economic diversification.
So they're basically saying, get your act together or things could get a lot worse.
That's a fair assessment. The International Monetary Fund, or IMF, has echoed similar sentiments, urging the Maldives to strengthen their fiscal framework, enhance debt management, and address vulnerabilities in the financial sector.
Okay, so both the World Bank and the IMF are painting a pretty serious picture. But are there any more optimistic voices out there?
Well, some analysts believe that the Maldives has the potential to recover if they can capitalize on the rebound in global tourism. They also point to opportunities for attracting foreign investment in key sectors, like renewable energy and sustainable development.
So there's a glimmer of hope, but it hinges on making smart choices and seizing those opportunities right.
Exactly. It's all about capitalizing on their strength, that incredible natural beauty, their reputation as a luxury destination, while simultaneously tackling those tough internal challenges.
It sounds like they're at a crossroads, and the path they choose will determine their destiny. But before we dive into those potential paths and what they mean for the people of the Maldives, I think it's time for a quick break. We'll be back in a flash to continue our deep dive. Okay, we're back and ready to wrap up our deep dive into the Maldives' economic situation. We've covered those eye-popping debt figures, the challenges for local businesses, and the potential scenarios for the next 2 years. What does this all mean for the Maldives, and what can we all learn from their experience?
Yeah, it's been quite a journey.
It has.
The core takeaway here is that the Maldives is at a critical crossroads. Their experience serves as a stark reminder of the importance of sustainable economic practices, both for nations and individuals.
It's like we've been saying throughout this whole deep dive. You can't just keep spending beyond your means, whether you're a government or a household. Eventually, those bills come due.
Precisely. The Maldives story highlights what can happen when short-term gains are prioritized over long-term stability. Those lavish infrastructure projects, the ballooning government payroll, the lack of oversight on SOEs, all of that contributed to this debt crisis they're facing now.
And it's not just about spending either. It's about accountability, transparency, making sure everyone, including those big corporations, is contributing their fair share. Remember those $513 million in unpaid corporate debts? That's a lot of money that could be used to address some of the country's most pressing needs.
Absolutely. Addressing that issue of unpaid dues is crucial, not just for the immediate financial relief it would provide, but also for restoring public trust in the system. People need to see that the rules apply to everyone, not just the average citizen.
It's about fairness, plain and simple. But let's talk about those potential paths forward for the Maldives. We've got the optimistic scenario where they manage to rein in the spending, implement those fiscal reforms, attract foreign investment, and tourism bounces back strong. But then there's that less rosy picture where those efforts fall short, the global economy throws a curveball, and things get worse. What do those different scenarios actually look like for the Maldivian people?
Well, in that optimistic scenario, we're talking about a gradual but hopefully steady recovery. The government would be able to invest more in essential services like healthcare and education. Job opportunities would increase, and people would start to feel more secure about their future. Local businesses would benefit from a more stable economy, and that increased tourist spending.
So essentially a return to a more sustainable path where economic growth benefits everyone, not just a select few.
Exactly. But in that pessimistic scenario, things could get pretty tough. Austerity measures potentially leading to cuts in social programs and public services. Unemployment could rise, and that cost of living would likely continue to increase, putting a strain on household budgets.
A sobering thought. High stakes here. The decisions made in the next 2 years are going to have a real tangible impact on the lives of every Maldivian. Before we wrap up, I want to circle back to those broader lessons. What can the rest of the world learn from the Maldives' experience?
Well, for starters, it's a wake-up call about the fragility of economies, especially in the face of those external shocks. Climate change, pandemics, global economic downturns. Diversification is key. Relying too heavily on a single industry like tourism can make a country incredibly vulnerable.
Putting all your eggs in one basket.
Exactly. And it's a lesson that applies not just to nations, but to individuals too. Having a diverse skill set, multiple income streams, and a solid financial foundation can make you more resilient to those unexpected challenges.
Spreading the risk.
Yeah. And on a more global level, international cooperation and responsible lending practices are key. Organizations like the World Bank and the IMF have a crucial role to play in promoting sustainable development and providing support to countries facing economic hardship. But it's also about developed nations stepping up and providing assistance, not just loans that could further burden already struggling economies.
So a more equitable global system where everyone shares responsibility for economic stability and sustainable growth.
Precisely. We're all interconnected, and the sooner we realize that and act accordingly, the better off we'll all be.
Well said. I think that's a perfect note to end on. The Maldives story is a reminder that economic challenges, while complex, are ultimately about people, their hopes, their struggles, their resilience. These are the things that should guide our understanding of these issues and inspire us to seek solutions that benefit everyone. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the Maldives debt crisis. We hope you found it informative, thought-provoking, and maybe even a call to action. Remember, even amidst economic turmoil, there's always hope, and there's always something we can do to make a difference. Until next time, stay curious, stay informed, and stay engaged.